You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Hola, amigos. It is the Loftus Party. You found it. We've got a fantastic show. We are just going to, like, pedal to the metal, rip through this shit. It's going to be fantastic. We got Andrew Apple in Los Angeles.
Whew. How's it going, Michael? I'm going to do my best for you this week.
It's good. You do every week. You're a slugger. You're a Chicago Cub in the bottom of the ninth.
Ed, don't say that. I'm engaged to a White Sox fan. I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for that.
How can you be anti-Chicago Cub, right? I'm a Cleveland Indian guy, right?
Yeah.
I want Cleveland to win the whole thing, but I want the Cubbies to get there. I want it to be Cleveland versus the Chicago Cubs in a apocalyptic battle of the losers of the ages. It should directly mirror politics.
Oh my goodness. Yes. No. I gotta root for the Cubbies just because they're the underdog. They've been the underdog for so long.
That is the voice of Stacey Lennox, who is broadcasting from either the Freedom Castle or the Citadel of Citizens. or the Freedom Trailer. We're still working on the name.
I'm in my office.
You're in your office, which is in the Citadel of Citizens, Stately Liberty Manor.
Wow.
We're gonna find a new name for it. You're gonna root for the Cubbies?
Well, I'm born and bred a Yankees fan, so we don't have the issues in our historical winning streak that franchises like the Cubs have. And having lived in the greater Chicago area and knowing many, many, many Chicago Cub fans, I would love to see them on the winning side of things. Yes.
At some point, we're going to have to dedicate, and please God, let's not do it now. We're going to have to dedicate an entire show to the places you've lived and the things you claim to have done. Because you're like, I'm in Georgia, but I lived in New York. Before that, I was in Chicago. I might have lived in San Fran for a while. It's too much. I don't know who you are. You wear many masks. Not going to get into it now.
I have moved no less than 14 times.
So you're a gypsy.
Yeah, kind of.
All right. Liberty Gypsy. You're
there. I think
from
I just
the freedom
got my
tent. The freedom tent.
Yeah, we don't even buy houses. We just pitch a tent. That's what we do.
She is the Liberty Gypsy. On a caravan of truth.
There you go.
Then a caravan is calling. Hey, you guys. When can we get music? When can we actually start dropping tunes? Or is that just going to cost a fortune?
I mean, there's free music we can use, if that's what you want. Like we can get sound-alikes. I mean, have you heard there are podcasts that do that where it's like, we'd really want to play Pharrell's Happy, but we can't afford it, so we're going to use this royalty-free thing that kind of sounds like it. Hey, everyone, clap along. And I want to punch those people
in
the face.
Yeah, I don't want to do sound, because it would have to be like some Van Morrison caravan. Now the caravan is calling. Like whenever Stacey is introduced as broadcasting from the gypsy tent, the freedom caravan.
Oh, God.
All right, I don't want to mess around too much. Last week's show, epic show. I'm still getting over that debate. I'm already getting nervous about the new one. But a lot has happened. The big guy who popped out of the debate was Ken Bone. Am I right or am I right?
We're in the Bone Zone.
They sold out that sweater.
Yeah, they embraced Ken Bone. And then I guess, see, I'm not following it. That's not on my distraction list. I was just, too happy about just all the awesomeness that Donald Trump was laying out. Like people are like, ooh, Ken Bone. And I'm like, yeah, he kind of does look like that guy from Monsters, Inc. 2. Yeah, he kind of does look like this character.
Toy Story 2.
He also looked like the guy from Toy Story 2. I thought he looked more like the guy from Monsters, Inc. 2. In my mind, in my opinion. However, the media and people fell in love with him. I guess this guy went to bed with like 7 Twitter followers and then woke up the next day with a couple hundred thousand.
That's the dream.
You know, you've hit the big time when they parody you. So there
yes.
was a couple other non-Ken Bone accounts out there.
So I guess Ken Bone, very much like the Icarus, he flew too close to the sun, and he's already been ripped down. What did he do? What's his big crime?
I think his crime was leaving some unsavory comments on Reddit at one point.
About what?
Trayvon Martin.
Trayvon Martin, and well, and to me, they're not unsavory because what he said was actually supported in a court of law. But and then there was some, like, you know, I believe sexual stuff too.
Oh boy, Ken Bone, Ken Bone is stroking a bone. Some sexual stuff about who?
I don't even remember, but just what I find sad is the simple fact that he got on television, he asked a question at a debate, people were like, hey, yeah, this guy, right? Because maybe people identified with him or whatever, and because he didn't immediately fall in line, you know, this, that, and the other thing, of course, you know, some of the larger liberal sites go and dig up all this other stuff on his social media profiles. It's like, couldn't we have just celebrated Ken Bone and then let him go back to his life? That would have been awesome.
Stacey, have you been on the internet ever? That's not what the internet does.
I know that's not what the internet does, but one can dream.
Well, I mean, I really couldn't give two about this guy. I really don't. Other than the fascination with, like, it's just odd what people pick up on. Out of all the stuff that comes out in that debate, people are like, oh, that fat guy in the red sweater. That's just like, it's like cat videos. Like, cat videos are the most popular thing on the internet. And yeah, I kind of get it, but I'm like, isn't that, like, when is enough enough? You know, no, but I'll confess, they make me laugh. Like when a cat is, like, hanging off a thing in a bathroom and it says, I is become towel. Like, that makes me laugh. However, I don't search it out. There's too much other news going on. There's too much other big stuff going on is what I'm saying. WikiLeaks, 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 WikiLeaks. My goodness.
Well, you're not allowed to read that, Michael. It's illegal.
Well, you know what? Who just said that?
CNN.
What douchebag at CNN said that?
I would have to go look it up specifically, but it was in some kind of roundtable, probably about 20 minutes before we started recording.
Now, hold on. These are emails that she was writing when she was Secretary of State, and she was employed by me. I was paying her bills, and that's she's got to turn those over. That's the deal. Those are ours.
Well, and I think part of the agita about them and the thing that's really upsetting a lot of people is the fact that she had said she had turned over all work-related emails. Now, there is some discussion whether emails that belong to this person or that person are actually work-related, but when you look at the content of them and the discussion, even though they weren't necessarily members of government, they absolutely were work-related. So that's a big problem that's not getting enough coverage, along with you know, what I find to be the most disturbing revelation, because I am not at all surprised.
Let's play that game. Let's play what's the most disturbing discovery. Go ahead.
The entire cover-up for Barack Obama in this entire email scandal. I mean, he was president of the United States. He essentially lied about his knowledge of that account. And I, you know, my opinion now, after reading a lot of that, is simply that the FBI and the Attorney General did not act to protect Hillary Clinton. She just benefited from it. They were really acting to protect the sitting president.
And you know where you heard that first? You know where you heard that first?
Where?
Right here on this show. Weeks ago. Weeks ago. They were looking out for the President of the United States. Here's mine. First of all, the open borders comments. That she dreams of a world with open borders. That just, that got my vote. If I was never Hillary before, holy smoke. She dreams of a world with order. Then trying to start a revolution in the Catholic Church. Did you read that one?
I saw some commentary on it. I didn't read that one specifically.
There was a series of emails going back and forth between people like, hey, how do we get this started? How do we get this going? And one girl is like, well, I'm not Catholic, so I'm not familiar with this. I'm going to have to step back. But like literally they're discussing like, how do you fundamentally change the Catholic Church in America? Like they like talk about balls.
Yeah, no, the whole religious liberty question around there is just ridiculous. And, you know, certainly I don't see in what should be a secular government with religious freedom, I'm not really sure how they plan to engineer that.
that's what they were struggling with. However, the thing that hit me is like it's like a possibility. Like they're discussing this. Like, yeah, we could really do this. Like, how do we go about doing it? How do you do the nuts and bolts of totally starting a revolution in the Catholic Church? Like that is in any like that just it just staggers me. It just staggers me that it's like that's part of a casual conversation.
Well, that's very Fabian, which we talked about on the show before, tearing down institutions of faith and government in a way that makes people morally equivocate things. So if you could somehow influence the Catholic Church in America to start, you know, being much more predisposed, I guess I'll say, to moral equivocation, that would be ruining that institution. That's very consistent with Barack Obama's philosophy, the philosophy of the progressive movement going back to the late 1800s.
Yeah. So Andrew, what was the scariest one for you of the WikiLeaks?
Guy, I don't know if you want to get my take on this because I'm definitely coming from a different place on this than you. I definitely saw things in there. I'm utterly frustrated with this whole thing at this point, and that's why I said it was such a tough week, because there's no question that Hillary Clinton is insanely corrupt, and I can't believe she's probably going to be our next president, and I know that's not fun or PC to say, but I...
Well, without losing my mind, yeah. and a great weeping and gnashing of teeth, it's interesting to me. I find it incredibly interesting, like, how you can know all this stuff. Like, you, unfortunately, you're just on the hot seat right now.
Yeah,
because you're the Hillary guy. I just want to try to understand the mindset, because I don't want to be part of the problem. That's my whole thing. Like, if you're not part of the solution, get out of the way. And that's what the LoftusParty.com is about as well. That's what the website's about as well. However, that being said, you know this stuff about Hillary. And here's the thing. They've never said they're fake. They've never said they're fake.
Yeah,
you know this, and you're still going to support her. Let's hear the why.
It's not so much of a supporting her. It's more that this week, and I've been trying to deny this because I hate going into the conspiracy theory realm, but this week it just seemed like the theory that Trump is using his candidacy to ultimately set up a media group just felt so real. Because right now, with everything you're saying being 100% correct, Trump is still down 33 points with women. And when you see that you're down with 33 points and you're continuing the same narrative where you're railing against the media as opposed to putting in some work with Susan G. Komen, putting out Ivanka
out there.
All right.
Hold up. You've strayed pretty far away. You know that Hillary is this corrupt.
Yes.
You know it.
Yes.
And you're still going to vote for her. Why?
Because I cannot support Trump, who doesn't want to be president and I think is playing everyone.
So he has spent... Rather than just starting a media company, he has spent $100 million of his own money just to make believe that he was running for president.
Yeah, because now he's got 30% of the country who's 100% behind him, and they're going to be watching this new company. I mean, let's not forget where we were 2 years ago with Donald Trump. He lost The Apprentice. People were dropping him from Miss America. They weren't doing any business with him. Now he's got 30% of the country who is militantly behind him, and they're going to follow him.
Okay. Now this really, it's mind-boggling, and I can't get over this one. It's a big stumbling point for me that instead of just starting a media company, he got in this for the press. He spent $100 million to pretend to run for president.
Well, but also remember, he spent $100 million, but he's gotten billions of dollars of free coverage in all of this, hasn't he? I mean,
and it's been so positive. Okay, so you believe your belief is that he doesn't even want to be president.
Yes.
So we might as well have the woman who is like literally selling America down the river.
What's the other option? Did you
say Donald Trump? Like a random dude off the street? Seriously, I would vote for a random dude off the street. I would vote for that homeless guy that sings opera.
Does he sing it well?
Oh, remember that dude? They found him in Cleveland. It was the black homeless guy with the golden voice.
Oh, and, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and like the internet fell in love with him one afternoon, and they elevated that dude. And I think, sadly, I think he's living on the streets again.
All right, Michael, I want to make a bet with you right here and now. All right?
Okay.
All right, I am going to bet you one bottle of Glenfiddich 15, all right, that
yes,
this time next year, we're going to have Hillary Clinton as president. We're going to have Chuck Schumer as the Senate Majority Leader. We're going to have Nancy Pelosi as the Speaker of the House. And Trump will have started a media group.
I don't see what the bet is. What else would you expect him to do at this point?
Real estate.
So you're saying, he'll still have his real estate empire. Absolutely. But he will also want to carry forward his message. There's a bunch of people who woke up. It's like the Matrix guy. It seriously is like a black dude in sunglasses just came into my house and showed me WikiLeaks. I'd be upset. I'd be upset if Donald Trump didn't start a media empire. Did you see the email link between the people in the DNC freaking out over the Iranian deal?
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're like, this is the equivalent of Chamberlain giving Czechoslovakia to Nazi Germany. This is the worst.
Oh, yeah.
We have saddled our future children to having to deal with nuclear war. And John Podesta just writes back, yep.
Yeah, that's no. It.
Like they totally, like that, you're cool with nuclear war more than having Donald Trump. Because he really just wants a TV show.
Here's what I'm not cool with is that Trump is losing by just about every poll out there when you go state by state. I know in the national poll, it's within the margin of error. And what that actually might lead to, and what I'm actually really upset about, is that not only does it probably mean Hillary Clinton's going to be our next president, but the Democrats could very well take back both the Senate and the House.
Hold on. Your argument is she's probably going to win, therefore I'm going to vote for her. Is that it?
No, my argument is I'm mad at Donald Trump because he doesn't want to be president, and instead we're going to be stuck with an entirely Democratic Congress and executive branch, which nobody wants, except for people who are hardcore in the left category. And that's because Donald Trump is trying to start a media group where he's going to have 30% of the country turning in on day one.
See, this is what the Loftus Party has to do. This is what the show... This is what I'm just trying to assess the problem here, assess the situation that, and I don't think you're alone. I think there's a ton of people out there rationalizing their way through a Hillary Clinton presidency, the worst of which are coming from the GOP. That's the worst. That is the ultimate knife in the back of all of this. But, the choosing of conspiracy theories when presented with facts, you have the people, the voters have this ESP, this inner working. They know what's really making Donald Trump tick. And like the groping allegations, that is fantastic. That is fantastic how all of these women are coming out and like, everybody's like, well, I can't elect him president. Yes, now I know. Yes, I know. I know that Hillary Clinton is selling uranium. Yep. I know that she's making nuclear war with Iran. That could be a real thing. Yep. I know that that she believes in open borders and that she's a liar. She's like straight up. However, Donald Trump, he might have grabbed a woman's tit. And I won't stand for that. That is what just boggles my mind. It's just mind-boggling. It's like an old couple who are in a car and they're about to drive off a cliff and they're arguing about the hubcaps. It's like, I told you not to get these hubcaps. Honey, the car, we're coming near the cliff. I don't care about the cliff. Those hubcaps aren't right. We okay. should have got the different hubcaps. Well, here we go. We're going over the cliff, and there's no way we're going to live. Well, I guess you should have bought the different hubcaps. You know, hubcaps really don't, they don't fucking matter at this point. We need brakes, and we need an engine, and we're about to die. Well, I guess I told you about the hubcaps. I was right about the hubcaps.
Okay, so let me pose a counter question to you, because I love that metaphor, all right? But Trump is down with women, and if he loses, it's going to be because he lost with the women part of the electorate.
Right. I'll give you that.
Why isn't he doing more outreach to women right now? Because his narrative hasn't changed. He's still just railing against the media.
There's nothing he can do. There's nothing he can do.
No, there's tons of stuff
because
he can do.
No, there's not. At this point in the game, there's not. And for him to it'll just make him look like he's just reacting. It won't seem genuine. And we've seen the way this guy talks. You know, when somebody says, hey, DT, and that's what I think that's what his friends call him. Hey, Donald Trump. Hey, DT, you got to reach out. You got to reach out to women voters. He always says something just horrifically bad, like, who loves women more than me? I love women. Look at that beautiful woman. Like, he doesn't do that well.
Yeah, he's not a very good panderer at all.
all he can do.
He's the worst panderer in politics. I'm sorry.
All he can do is wrap himself up in his history of here's what he's done. He's had women working on the job sites. He's had women in charge of giant buildings. He's had women, like, obviously, if you look at his track record, he's been very good to women. And it's his demeanor. And you can't change that. I'm not worried about the stuff Donald Trump says. I'm worried about the stuff Hillary Clinton does. Boom, boom, put it on Twitter.
Well, and you know, I have to line up with Newt Gingrich here a little bit, who's been an avid Trump supporter. I mean, he's been very supportive of Donald Trump for the vast majority of the election, to include the primary. But what he did say today is, the way to not mitigate some of that is by saying things like, she was too ugly for me to grope. He needs to stop doing that stuff. Like, it's not even that he needs to do something different. It's not even that he needs to, like, attempt to outreach so much as he needs to stop doing things like that.
Yeah. That's, I tell you what, you spend some time on Long Island. You spend some time in this part of the country, and you understand him very, very well. It's just he's a product of his upbringing. I tell you what, though, in terms of selective conspiracies, I'm pivoting now to selective conspiracies. Just the way, see now, and I'm glad you brought that up, Stacey, the whole Newt Gingrich of it all. Newt Gingrich has no problem defending Donald Trump, right?
No, and also
none.
No problem criticizing him when he thinks it's warranted. I think he's very balanced.
Ben Carson has no problem defending Donald Trump. What is the problem with the rest of the GOP? Now, I see a lot of Trump people on Twitter, and they really do. They're saying this stuff like Trump will upset the apple cart in terms of the establishment, the old school GOP, you know, the people who they've got one hand on the voting button, and then they got the other hand in your wallet. And Donald Trump is going to smack their hand out of your wallet. That's why I think they're not backing him up.
I think maybe at this point, listening to some of his rhetoric, that may have something to do with it. But I think initially he also puts out some very non-Republican positions.
Like what?
NATO, saying, you know, we'll just pull out. His comments about universal health care.
The people have spoken. He won. How can they not rally around him? What's stopping the GOP? Why is the GOP office in Ohio 2 days ago closed? Closed. Not even open for business. Why does the head of the grand old party in Ohio, he can't even have a Trump sign in his yard? Like, literally, the office of the GOP in Ohio, down in Cincinnati, is closed. They're not even making phone calls on behalf of Donald Trump.
Yeah, no, I saw that break come yesterday, and I'm not really sure what's going on in Ohio, other than most of the Ohio GOP is very aligned with their governor, John Kasich, and John Kasich has said he will not endorse or support.
When faced with this group of people that won't support him, Donald Trump goes, okay, I'm not going to ask for your help anymore. You guys can take a knee. And then he's perceived as the bad guy. That it's the media spin on all of this, and talk about I am all in for the great giant media conspiracy. And God help you people that are listening to this. Like right now, the government and the media and members of the Republican Party are all against Donald Trump. And you're all like, well, that's fantastic. That's good, because I don't like Donald Trump, so it's good. Lord help you when it starts affecting you, when the evil eye of Sauron starts focusing on you and your person, you're going to flip right the f*** out.
No, I agree with you 100%. And I don't think that the way that they are covering Donald Trump is okay. And it's a bigger, and again, you're not going to like hearing this, but I think it's a bigger commentary on where we are in the news in general with this whole if it bleeds, it leads type of thing. I mean, we were talking about before the podcast, your love of the new word, salacious.
Yeah. Yeah, salacious. Well, that's, I tell you what, I was making fun of those reporters using the word salacious, because here's what I was watching this douchebag show, Media Matters, and they were talking about, well, the Trump stories are definitely outweighing the WikiLeaks stories. Why do you think that is? And all the reporters are like, well, it's just salacious. When you start talking about it's salacious. And I think that is a giant, giant excuse.
That's all it is. I think it goes back to some of what you said many moons ago on this podcast. Back when the FCC actually governed the news to some extent, you couldn't have ads, and you were obligated, if you were going to have an FCC license, to provide so much news per day, right? It was a service, not a money-making entity. I think you had better news because there was no profit motive behind it. But if you look at news across the spectrum at this point, I can't think of a single outlet. And when I say a single outlet, I mean it, to include Fox, to include most of what we would traditionally call new media. All of them are playing to a market that already agrees with them.
Exactly.
I mean, okay. Well, that's to watch.
That's one thing. I'll agree with a percentage of that. Mm-hmm. However, when journalists say that they have to do anything to stop Donald Trump, when they're openly saying that they have to do anything they can to stop a candidate, that terrifies me.
And it's wrong.
That terrifies me.
And it's wrong.
Oh yeah.
Don't make any illusion about the fact that anyone who's on this microphone right now thinks that that's okay.
If you are positioning yourself as a journalist, because certainly I've heard that from Sean Hannity on Fox and other people who refer to themselves as commentators. And I think part of the problem is people don't tell the difference between the two anymore. There are people who report the news who should have a certain amount of objectivity, and then there are commentators. So, you know, one that would be on the other side that I find absolutely offensive in more ways than I can count is Joy Reid. She is not a journalist. She is a commentator, you know,
yeah.
And I think people don't recognize the difference between those two functions anymore, because commentary has become so prevalent on what are traditionally news organization stations, MSNBC, CNN, Fox News. If you go and tick by what is straight news versus what is literally commentary, commentary outweighs it phenomenally.
I despise being manipulated. I despise it. And when I feel like I have been manipulated into a choice, now I so want him to win. Now I so want him to win. It's unbelievable. And it's like that weird American thing. It's like out of the debate, who would have expected that Ken Bone would be the person that everybody's talking about? That's, if you would have told me a year ago, and Andrew, we probably have it from the early days of this podcast, where my buddy Jake Anarino was talking about Donald Trump, and I was just like shaking my head, just like, oh no, dude, we can't, right? But now to find out that I was manipulated by the Democratic Party, I was manipulated by the media, I am just a tool. Oh, you know you got to go f*** yourself. You know you got to go f*** yourself. Oh, how do we do Michaeltopias now? There's so much other stuff. Here's it's a horrible segue. It's a horrible segue. I don't like the right. I'm looking forward to, and this is the other thing. I'm trying to look past the election. I really am, and that's why my cards are into the LoftusParty.com, which is the most awesome website and getting more and more awesome by the day. The new Rolling Stones song, we got a first look at that. The new Stones tune.
Yep.
Cool. We've got some pretty good food porn. And we've got, it's just a great website. I can't wait till that gets up and going. I love me the food porn.
You do love some food porn. There was quite the casserole on your TL the other day.
That was the baked potato. That was the potato, ham, cheesy casserole thing. That, like, I tweeted out, oh my God. And that was no lie. When I tweet stuff like that, I literally, you have to like imagine it's my voice. If you're not following food porn on Twitter, get on there. Follow those guys. Good Lord.
Well, that and Tasty on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
The Tasty on Facebook, is, let me tell you. But I actually thought of the two of you on Friday night when I was out at my girlfriend's camper.
Yeah.
She actually she doesn't live in a camper, but she actually has a camper. I don't. But yeah, we went out there and we had the campfire going because it's getting to be fall here in Georgia. And she has a particular love for s'mores. But what she did was she took the s'more and she didn't make them with Oreos, but she stuffed a Reese's peanut butter cup in there instead of Hershey's chocolate.
Yes.
That would be good. I would eat that. I would eat that.
We did. We did.
How many did you have?
I had two.
That's delicious. That is delicious.
Then you get the whole like marshmallow sticky and feel like a fourth grader is like, okay, I got to stop.
No doubt. I watched, oh my gosh. Here's another great fun one to follow. Google Facts. Did you see my tweet about that, Stacey?
Yes, I did. The Dolphins?
That was, okay, you have to follow, it's Flipside Loftus on Twitter. Mm-hmm. That's where you find all this stuff. It's these dolphins hanging out in the ocean, and they're just waiting for waves. There's got to be like 50 dolphins, and when a wave comes in, they just start kicking. They're just surfing. These dolphins are just having a good time surfing. It's like the most awesome thing, and I just looked at it again. You know why? It makes me happy. It just makes me happy.
Yes, no, Google Facts is alternately joyful and like, ew. Like, they put out the worst spider. Like, if there's a nasty spider in the world, they will tweet it and tell you what it will do to you. That freaks me out.
Hey, I heard something the other day, and this was off of Jill Stein's Twitter feed, that like honeybees are on the endangered species list.
That is actually true in some areas.
That is terrifying.
That is very terrifying.
That is, no, something has gone horribly, horribly wrong. We need those things. We need honeybees, and we need bats, and we need birds. And I tell you what, that is one of those, what is up with the honeybees? We got to get to the bottom of that right now. So, hey, big government, if you could figure out what's going on with that, that would be awesome.
That would actually be something productive they could do.
Yes.
Rather than figuring out how to put in a 65% death tax and take more of my stuff or protect me from me, I think saving the honeybees would be an awesome thing.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. So, are you guys watching The Westworld on HBO?
Yes, both episodes.
What do you think?
You know, first episode, I was like, ah, that's kind of interesting. Second episode, I'm hooked. Absolutely.
So, I'm a little bit slow, I guess. So is Ed Harris like trapped there, or is he just a guest that has come back again and again and again?
Okay, so I should mention we're getting into spoiler territory right now.
What, do you have inside information, or is this just conjecture?
This has been some conjecture from the blogs that I have looked into. All right.
Okay.
The rumor.
I'm down with conjecture.
All right. So. What the conspiracy theory is, what people are positing, is that there's time travel that goes on in Westworld. And Ed Harris's character is the older version of Jimmy Simpson's character, the brother who came to Westworld at the first time in the second episode, because he knows something that his younger version is going to be figuring out this season.
All right. That's a no-go right there.
Okay.
I can tell. There's something else going on. I'm liking the Westworld. I do. I'm sympathetic towards that one girl robot, you know, because that's got to be like hell on earth. You're reliving the same day every day, and you always get shot or you get raped or something horrible happens.
Yeah, that's Evan Rachel Wood's character.
Yeah, I'm sympathetic to her. And who's the black girl who plays the prostitute?
That's Thandi Newton.
Yeah, she's good, and I'm sympathetic towards her too. Stacey, I'm guessing you're not watching the Westworld.
I actually don't have the HBO, so.
Okay. Well,
they don't put that in those gypsy tents.
They don't put it in the gypsy tents of freedom.
Yeah,
okay.
No.
Here's something fun that I did last night. I watched the movie Warcraft. That's right. I'm just going to let that hang out there, evidently.
Tell World us more of, about that, Michael.
World of Warcraft is a giant video game made by this company called Blizzard. It's incredibly popular. They have reached a level of popularity and money that they decided to come out with a movie. And they came out with this movie called Warcraft. And it was a huge stinker in the U.S., but I think it made a boatload of money in China, right? Like a boatload of money in China.
It was huge.
Yeah. So I'm watching the Warcraft, and I just want to see it so I can talk about it, whatever. I'm watching it last night, and it's pretty awful. It is pretty awful. However, spoiler alert, in the middle of the movie, this kid who wants to be like a wizard or whatever goes to where he used to train to be a wizard, and these guys with glowing eyeballs, they live on this floating city. They're like, well, you speak of the blah, 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 blah. And they take him to the secret room where there's this big black floating cube that's powered by magic. And all of a sudden, the big cube that's powered by magic opens up. And the kid is like, am I supposed to go in there? And the guy with the glowing eyeball says, I don't know. It's never done that before. So the kid walks into the powerful all magic center. And who is in there? Who is in the big floating cube powered by magic? Glenn Close.
Really?
I about the cow. She kept that so quiet. She kept it so secret. I had to pause it. And I'm like, that's fucking Glenn Close. Like, she's a real actress. Like, what is going on in her personal life where she just said, you know what? Fuck it. I'll do it. I need the money.
God.
It was so fantastic. It was so fantastic. That's the only reason I bring it up. Now, however, here's the good thing that happened out of the World of Warcraft. I saw the trailer for a movie, and I want to put this trailer up on theloftusparty.com immediately. Well, not immediately, but pretty soon. It's this movie called A Monster Calls. A Monster Calls looks like it's going to be fantastic. You've got this young kid who doesn't fit in. Kids are bullying him, but he's an artist, right? And I think his mom is played by Sigourney Weaver, and she's encouraging his artistic ability. Something magic happens, and his artwork comes to life, but Liam Neeson is the voice of the monster. The movie looks cool as shit. Like, literally, like the cinematography and the look of the movie, it looks cool as shit. And there's a couple things that I know. Sigourney Weaver, she can act her bony little ass off. And I say bony little ass, that's a shout out to that movie she made with Melanie Griffith a long time ago and Harrison Ford.
Oh, you know, she's coming into the Marvel Universe.
Sigourney is?
Yeah, she's going to be the main villain in The Defenders, which is where Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist are all coming together in their own Netflix series.
She makes an awesome, like, villain.
Okay. I write on this TV show. I try to separate the two things, right? Because I don't want people going, oh, that guy's a filthy Donald Trump supporter, and he works for a blah, blah, blah show. Sometimes I don't know if it matters. Sometimes I think it matters a lot. However, my buddy, Kevin James, who has a TV show on CBS, recently ran into Chris Pratt from one of my favorite movies of all time, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
And you guys want the dirt on Chris Pratt?
Yes. Let's get the dirty, dirty dirt.
Here is the dirty, dirty dirt. Chris Pratt, nicest guy in the world.
Aww.
Oh, that's it?
Yep. He's a super sweetheart. And, you know, I ran into Kevin and I'm like, so what's up, you know, with it? He's like, oh, I ran into Chris Pratt. And he was like bummed out. He was a little bummed. It's like you hear these stories like, oh, I hear he's a great guy. Here he's a great guy. And then you go and you find out for yourself. He's a great guy. So we got nothing but love for Chris Pratt.
There you go. Well, it's kind of nice to figure out somebody that was a character in a movie you just love and adore is actually just a really nice guy. I think that's awesome.
Here's the thing. I find it – I've always found this – when I started – no, I see what you're saying. When I started doing stand-up comedy and I was just the opening act, and you would run across these headliners, right? They had – and in my little mind, the headliner had all the power in the world. You'd find these guys that were like mean. And you're like, why are you being mean? You've got all the power in the world, you know? And I think the same is true with movie stars. Like, you've got so much money. Your life is so simple and so easy on the outside looking in that, like, why would you be mean? So I'm always struck when you find these people who, like, I met movie star such and such, and they were an What could possibly be going wrong? However, I'll be the first to defend a lot of movie stars who have little temper tantrums, because sometimes that is legit. It is so legit, and you have no idea. Like, ordinary people have no idea, like, the bull that these poor souls have to go through. Like, when a movie star finally loses it on a press junket, when they've been asked the same question every 5 minutes for like 48 hours, that's like CIA brainwashing. And when they finally snap at the dumb little piece of shit interviewer and then like that's the story that makes the news, I'm like, no, they had a legit reason to snap. They had a legit reason to snap. So anyway, A Monster Calls looks fantastic. Glenn Close is in the movie Warcraft. I don't know what's going on with Westworld, but I'm going to watch again. I'm going to tape it tonight. I'm doing stand-up comedy tonight. I'm going to stand up in front of people and tell jokes. That's why they call it stand-up comedy. I'm going to be going to Governor's in Levittown. That's my new home club for the not-so-distant future. So it is that time of the show, you guys. It's our favorite time where we talk about Michaeltopia, how the bullshit rules that we live under, some of them don't apply in Michaeltopia, because Michaeltopia is perfect. Michaeltopia, we have a whole different set of rules, and they are as follows. Who's got a Michaeltopia?
In Michaeltopia, you're not allowed to go as Ken Bone for Halloween.
Why not?
You know, it creates this awkward story 3 or 4 years later when you're looking at pictures online, and then, like, you know, whoever you're dating at the time is like, why do you have this Halloween picture where you have, like, a bad hairline and a creepy mustache? It's like, oh, well, did you remember, like, in the second presidential debate back in 2016, there was this guy, you know, it's like going as Left Shark.
As Left Shark. Oh, yeah. See, that took me a second. You're right. It took me a second. It took me a second to go down the Katy Perry highway. And that Michaeltopia still applies. We can't say that one enough. In Michaeltopia, you can't announce you've got nude pictures of yourself if you don't have nude pictures, Katy Perry. I'm still pissed off about that one. Yeah, I'm looking at you and not them titties. I thought you said you had nude pictures. All right. Stacy, I heard you do that suck in of air. You're like, like you had a Michaeltopia.
Well, mine is simple because you reminded me about food porn, which I love that account, by the way. But in Michaeltopia, food porn has to actually tell you how to make all the food in the pictures they post.
What do you mean?
Well, because food porn doesn't always tweet the neat little video that tells you how to make something. Sometimes they just put a picture of something absolutely fabulous out there and don't tell you how to make it.
Okay, I gotcha. I gotcha. You have to go track that recipe down.
You got to find it somewhere.
In Michaeltopia, if you are going to launch a secret cyber war against the Russians, you're not allowed to announce it on TV.
That's Joe, yeah.
Joe Biden the other day is being interviewed by Chuck Todd, and Chuck Todd asks him about the Russians and hacking, because that's the story, right? It's not that WikiLeaks shows us the truth. It's about the Russians hacked us. And Joe Biden has carried it to such a level, he's like, yeah, we're going to fight back. We are prepared to launch a counterattack, a cyber offensive against the Russians. And it'll be a secret attack, and they won't know when it's coming. But it's a secret attack, and it's like, hey, you're not allowed to talk about your secret plans on TV. This is why Donald Trump made so much sense in the second debate. Yeah, it should be a secret attack. Stop telling them what you're going to do. I swear to you, here's the gift that keeps on giving, you guys. The gift that keeps on giving. There is a video on YouTube by these two impersonators from England, and they do the voice of BBC One, and oh my gosh, they do Michael Caine impressions. They
have told this us video. About them on the last podcast.
The name of the video is Gentlemen to Bed. That is the name of the video, Gentlemen to Bed. This thing destroys me. It makes me laugh harder than anything has made me laugh in years. So when we're done with this, I am going to watch Gentlemen to Bed. And I'm going to laugh till I want to pee my pants.
Is that one of those things that needs to go up on the dose?
Oh my gosh, yes. See, this is the great thing about having a website like this. I can just say, yeah, let's put that up on there.
Well, I already got the trailer for A Monster Calls.
Yay.
So I take notes sometimes.
I take notes. All right, I'm doing stand-up comedy. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. I'm going to be going up to Governor's in Levittown. It's a great little club here on Long Island. So if you're listening to this, you just missed me. All right. Let's see what happens in this next debate. However, it's just an opportunity for Donald Trump to fail. Like, that's all they are. It's like, please don't fuck up. Please don't fuck up. I'm already getting the knot in my stomach. So it'll be fun. We'll dissect that. We'll have more Westworld news. We're going to have more movie news. Hopefully another track from hopefully the Stones will drop that new album. I'm pretty excited about that. And more LoftusParty.com news. Thank you. We love you. Good night.